We started by singing a song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And that song is easy to sing when everything's going great and the sun is shining. But is it a song that you can sing when the clouds are billowing and the storms are swirling? I invite you today to think with me about how God ministers to us in the good times and in the bad times. And it's when the things are going so horrible around us that our faith in God is tested but also proven. So I encourage you to look with me at the Psalms, and we're going to be looking specifically at Psalm 42. But before we get there, I'd like to just read the headings to a couple of Psalms earlier. Look with me at Psalm 21, first of all. And this is maybe a psalm that people love to underline and love to remember and love to use as an example before God and use it to prompt their prayers. This is an easy one. "O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desires of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. You welcomed him with rich blessings. You placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him." Here's a psalm of rejoicing. David is saying, things are going great, God, and I'm so thankful to you. And we want to thank God and praise God when things are going well for us. But as you read through that psalm, and if you have a routine as a family or as an individual working your way through the psalms on a regular basis, and you come across this one, there are times when, as you read it, you can relate to it and say, yeah, life is great. And this prompt can prompt you, this psalm can prompt you to praise God in the good times. But what happens if you turn to this psalm on the day when things are not going so great? It's possible for someone to read this psalm and say, hey, God, you made things great for him, but my life stinks. And there can be a cynicism that sets in, a sense of anger at God even, a sense of how come you're treating some people better than you are treating me, God? And so it's very important as we train ourselves, and particularly as we train our children, that we are honest about the emotions of life, that we're honest about the way that life is a roller coaster, and at times things are going great, but at times things are not going so well. And it's important that we look at all of Scripture so that when the emotions are in different dimensions, we have different Scriptures to guide our emotions. So look with me at the very next psalm. Turn from 21, where he's praising God for everything going great, and turn to 22, another psalm of David, another psalm that is a song to be sung. There's directions to the director of music. There's instructions of what tune to use. But it starts this way. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Now, we haven't sung that song here recently, have we? I don't know that we've ever had the pianist tune that one up and put the words on the screens for us and start singing, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? But that was part of the repertoire of songs that the followers of God used during the time of David and following. Maybe we ought to have a song like that. Maybe we ought to be singing the Scriptures where someone's shaking their fists at God and saying, where are you? What would happen if we were honest with our feelings like that? I think some people think lightning would strike the church and there'd be a calamity if we were. But I want you to recognize this is Scripture. This is a follower of God. This is David's words. David, who was said to be a man who was wholeheartedly in love with Christ, with God. And if he was honest like this, maybe you can be honest like this. And maybe there's value if for you being honest with God. See, sometimes I'm afraid that we model to our kids that we have to be dishonest with God. Kind of silly, isn't it? But there's almost this facade that we sometimes encourage people to wear, that no matter what's going on, we say things are great. Hey, how you doing? Oh, great. When you hurt inside, when there's heartache inside. Pastor Dale and I were able to meet this week, and I was glad for the opportunity because I'm impressed with Dale's living out his struggle in front of us. And Dale is honest that he's suffering from cirrhosis of the liver. He's honest that at times a day is tough. But he's also honest about his source of hope. And he's trusting in God. And I think that Dale's living out the Psalms. And I think that we all are encouraged to live out the Psalms. And by going through the Psalms, reading through the Psalms, praying through the Psalms, even singing the Psalms, our theology of God, of self, of life, of good and of evil, of pain and of joy is brought more into alignment with God's truth. So let's be people who are honest with our emotions and bring our hurts to God. Turn with me to Psalm 42 next. And as you turn, you'll maybe notice that there's some headings before the psalm starts. One heading is Book 2. The book of Psalms is divided into actually five books. It kind of mirrors the first five books of the Bible that way, the Pentateuch. You also notice there's a heading that says, For the Director of Music. This is, again, a psalm that is a song to be sung. And also you'll notice that it's called a maskil, of the sons of Korah. Maskil is one of those Hebrew words that we're not exactly sure what it means in and how to translate it into English. The root of it has something to do with instruction. So it could be that it's a psalm of instruction, or it could be that it's a wisely crafted psalm, but it has something to do with that. And so we see that it's a song and it's instruction. It's something to do with our emotions and with our intellect. And it's also one of the psalms of Korah, from the sons of Korah. These were men who were specifically assigned the duty of leading worship, of writing songs, singing songs, encouraging the followers of God to sing forth their emotions to God, their prayers to God. So we see the purpose of the Psalms explained there. Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 starts this way. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. But my soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and the breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, Where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. The situation is that something horrible has happened to him. Emotionally, he's all worked up. Something has happened, gone wrong, so that people who look at him doubt that God is there for him. They taunt him, saying, obviously God's abandoned you. Where is your God? And the result of all this is that his emotions are all in upheaval. So you've got something wrong happened. We don't know what the calamity is. And maybe it's best that we don't know, because we could all put our own little calamity into the situation. Something wrong has happened. Others are now taunting him, and his emotions are in upheaval. Three strikes, we'd say he's out. He's in a tough situation. Physically, something happened. Socially, now he's got the people against him. Emotionally, he's in turmoil. He feels abandoned. Notice his honesty. He doesn't cover it up. He doesn't deny it. He admits it. He even talks to God about it. I think that's our first lesson for us. Well, first of all, this is the reality that we're going to go through tough times. There are groups within the larger scope of Christianity that have this mindset that if we follow God, if we do what God tells us to do, if we cling to his promises, pray his prayers, that life's going to be good, that he's going to be forced to bless us. He's going to have to do all the things we ask of him. The problem is that those people who propagate that misunderstanding and that false theology are ignoring most of the books of the Bible. Because as you read through and honestly evaluate what the Bible is saying, there are people suffering, good people experiencing suffering. So that's our first point. Suffering is part of the Christian experience. Tough times will come to each and every one of us as we seek to follow God. There will be times when life seems to be going the wrong direction. So I want to encourage you to be honest with God yourself, to admit the reality of the difficulties, and to face the fact that tough times come. Then, secondly, we want to take it to God. When hard things happen, we want to go to God with those hard things. We want to let him speak his truth in that situation. We want to allow him to communicate. Came across these words by Max Lucado this week. He writes, "Have you wept your final tear? Have you received your last round of chemotherapy? Therapy? Not necessarily. Will your unhappy marriage become happy in a heartbeat? Not likely. Does God guarantee the absence of struggle and the abundance of strength? Not in this life. But he does pledge to reweave your pain for a higher purpose." So we're honest about the hurts. And then we, thirdly, turn towards God in the midst of them. We take those hurts and we turn to God. If need be, we shake our fists and we say, "God, where are you? Why have you deserted me? Why have you abandoned me?" And when we do that, it can be done in faith. Because we're looking to the one we know we need to look to. Whatever we're going through, he's the one we need in the midst of that. When things are difficult, we look to God. We're honest with God. As you read through the Psalms and pray through the Psalms, you come across these verses, you have to figure out, well, how do I use this verse in my own journey towards Christ? When the psalmist is saying, "God, why have you abandoned me? Why don't you hear me?" We don't say, "Well, there's a theological truism I need to build my life upon." Because it's obvious that as you read through the rest of the psalm, that's not how he completely feels. It's the feeling of the moment. Later on in this same psalm, he's going to declare that he knows that the Lord directs his love towards him. He knows that God is there for him. He knows that God is the one that he needs to run towards and that he's thirsting for and craving. He knows all that, but he does say his emotions. And so as we read that in our studies and in our prayer time, we say, Lord, help me to be honest with you about my emotions. Help me to be honest when I don't really feel like you're close. Help me to understand how to go through that season of dryness and not lose hope, but to continue to run towards you. See, our goal as we're working through the Psalms is not merely the expression of our emotions, although that's part of it. We do want to express our emotions to God, but we're also asking God for the transformation of our emotions. We want our emotions not to hinder our spiritual development, but we actually want our emotions to foster our spiritual development. We want to be transformed into the likeness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our bodies and in our spirits and in our souls. We worship a triune God so that the triune nature of our very being is transformed to be more like the God we worship. So we bring him our emotions. I don't know about you, but I grew up with emotions being a little suspect. One of the discipling times of my life was when I was in college, and a lot of the Campus Crusade for Christ material was studied in our group. And one of the things that's communicated there is that we place our faith in the facts of God and his word. And a illustration was used of a train engine and a train coal car and a train caboose. And it was said that your faith is like the coal. You want to fuel your faith into the facts of God. You put your faith in the facts of what God has done. And you don't trust your emotions. They called that the caboose. And just expect that the caboose will follow. Now the danger in that is that it was discounting emotions. It was saying that emotions aren't important at all. That could be the takeaway from that. The reality is that God made us emotional beings. And it's true that emotions are suspect and emotions go up and down and emotions can't be trusted to speak the truth to us in situations. But we do want to recognize that God gave us emotions. Let me encourage you to think of your emotions this way. Think of your emotions as dashboard lights in your car or in your tractor. Or maybe think of them as gauges on the dashboard of some machinery. These emotions tell us when something's going on. They indicate to us that something might be amiss or something might be wrong. If the light is flashing, it's indicating that something needs attention. If you're feeling blue, if you're feeling hurt, if you're feeling depressed, there's a reason for that. Maybe we should do some digging under the hood to find out why. And as we're digging, hopefully we can find out why and we can address it. It's not that the emotion was bad, it's the emotion was good. It told us that we need to again look to God. Now in my minivan, there's almost 200,000 miles on it, and there's this light that keeps coming on. And it really bothers my wife that this light keeps saying, check engine, check engine, check engine. She brings it up all the time, and I keep ignoring it. For some reason, she thinks I have a pattern of ignoring potential wrong things. I don't know how she gets that idea. The truth of the matter is, I haven't ignored it completely. I actually asked a mechanic about it. He says, oh, it's a sensor that's bad. It's not really a problem. It's just something that's trying to determine if there is a problem. So give me a false positive. So I do ignore that flashing check engine light. See, sometimes your emotions will give you a false positive. Sometimes your emotions will flash and they'll say, God's abandoned you. Everyone's against you. And when that happens, maybe a little more digging is needed. Maybe a little more investigation is needed. Has that really happened, or is that just how you're feeling at the moment? What is the truth of God's word saying to you? And I believe that God's word is telling us that he has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. In the midst of the difficulties, he is right there with us. And so in those moments, we turn towards Him. We pant for Him. We thirst for Him. We pursue Him. We let the tears flow and let the emotions come. And through them, we turn and pour out our soul to God. We remember what God has done in the past. Remember the times He has blessed us. Remember, here He says He remembers the times of worship. He remembers the times of going to the house of God with the multitude, in the procession, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. And what a great reminder to us that when we're feeling a certain way, of a negative way, we remember what God did in the past. And maybe it's being part of the congregation. In fact, this is a great lesson for us in the importance of corporate worship. What we do when we gather affects our emotions and our intellect, even our body. We need one another as we go through this life. There are times when we're up and times when we're down, and when we gather together in the midst of that range of emotions, God can speak truth to us through it. And the songs that we sing, it's not mere sentimentality, it's declaring God's truth. So I encourage our worship team members to think how huge is the responsibility you have as you pick songs and tunes and words and prayers in between and things that direct us towards God, because they minister to us in the different range of emotions. The last thing I want you to notice is something He does that is so important. He talks to Himself. Sometimes you think that that's a sign of a problem. That's actually a sign of a solution being worked out. He talks to Himself. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me?" He questions His emotions. He questions Himself about what He's feeling. And then He speaks truth to Himself. He says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." This dialogue that's going on involves a questioning of what He's feeling, even a questioning of what He's thinking. We don't just let thoughts come in and believe them. We don't just let emotions come in and receive them. But we stand as guards at the gates of our hearts, according to Paul's teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We stand there and we monitor what's coming in, whether it's a thought or here even if it's emotion. And we say, is that of God? Is that a truth I want to receive and believe? Or we say, is that an emotion that needs me to respond to in a certain way? How does faith relate to this situation I'm in the midst of? He does some self-evaluation and some questioning. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book on spiritual depression, instructs the believers to do this on a regular basis, to question the thoughts that come, to question the emotions that come and bring them into alignment with God's truth. But notice how, as he's doing this, he ends this way. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. That's repeated again in that psalm. It's even repeated in what's called Psalm 43, although it might be that these two psalms were actually at one time one psalm. So it's repeated again and again. Why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. So when you're going through that tough time, ask God about it. Evaluate it. See if that blinking light is indicating that something needs to be addressed. Interact with the rest of the body of Christ. Let them help you. Be honest with them. And ask God how He wants to minister to you in the midst of that. Remember what He's done in the past and let it remind you that He can do it again. And put your hope in the One who can rescue, the One who can save. He calls Him my Savior and my God. My Savior and my God. My God. That's the term that describes God as the commander, the ruler. My Savior, that's the one that indicates that God is the one that rescues us and delivers us. Ultimately, he was looking forward to the Messiah's arrival. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who meets us in every one of our needs. One who understands rejection. One who understands pain. The one who endured it for your rescue and salvation. So we're honest with the good times, we're honest with the hurts, and we put our hope in our Savior and our God. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that in your word, you're honest, and that you enable us to come to you honestly. Help us to bring you the times when we're rejoicing, and help us to come to you in the times that we're sorrowing. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to you, you would speak your truth to our situations. You would speak into our emotions. You would bring us into a greater understanding that while we might feel abandoned, you really haven't abandoned us. And while we might feel like there's no hope, there always is hope with you. We declare the truth that you are our hope. You are our Savior. You are our God. Help us, we pray. Help us to trust. Help us to believe. Help us to give you our hurts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.